This is Bill Brenner for SearchSecurity.com. You're listening to our Security Wire Weekly podcast for August 22nd, 2007. This week, Lynn Lucas, director of Cisco's Mobility Group, talks about steps the company is taking to improve wireless security for its customers. And EI CEO Kamal Arafei refutes rumors that his company is struggling. We'll be back after this message.
As an information security professional, you've no doubt heard of Nmap, the popular freeware tool. It can be a huge help in the enterprise when searching for available hosts and services or pinpointing open ports. However, installing, configuring, and running Nmap in the enterprise is no easy task. With that in mind, SearchSecurity.com has teamed up with security expert Michael Cobb to create an Nmap technical guide. This guide details exactly how you can use Nmap to make your organization more secure. This guide is available for free at searchsecurity.com/nmap. Again, that's searchsecurity.com/nmap. Check it out today.
Cisco Systems has unveiled new products in recent months to fill customer demand for more wireless networking capacity. But with more threats being directed at wireless users, questions abound on how to secure it all. Lynn Lucas, director of Cisco's Mobility Group, sat down with SearchSecurity.com to discuss what the networking giant is doing to keep its wireless offerings secure and what she believes enterprise IT pros must do to bolster defenses on their end.
Trend that you saw here in May is the request from customers to have solution-oriented products and not just disparate pieces of technology, and that's what we really did there. It's by working to integrate solutions not only from our own product line, such as our Unified Wireless Network and our Unified Communications IP Telephony products, but also with third parties, develop an end-to-end solution for different industries. And I think the implications with respect to security here are very positive, because what this is enabling us to do is create an environment where the products are tested together and some of the different security scenarios can be looked at, and taking that burden off of the integrator or off of the customer themselves.
So talk about the security measures that have gone into this in an effort to head off any potential threats going forward, any way for an attacker to exploit this technology?
Well, sure. And so there's clearly been a lot of discussion and concern about that with wireless over the last years. And we take an approach where we have a architecture that has three components to it to ensure that the wireless solutions are as secure as possible. And of course, always there are best practices that must be taken in concert by the enterprise itself. Very simple things that we've all heard for many years, like having strong password rules and enforcement policies. But let's start with what these three components are. First, with the wireless LAN-based solutions, one of the key things we all know about is ensuring that the security back to the network from the client device is of the highest level possible. And that we would recommend what is known as IEEE 802.11i or WPA2, which is the highest known level. If someone's using a wireless network outside the enterprise, then we very much would recommend the use of a VPN if that person is trying to connect back in over an open wireless network into their corporate network.
But just to be sure that we are clear, the standards that you spoke of, the 802.11i, etc. So now all of the products Cisco is rolling out for wireless at this point is up to that those standards at this point, correct?
Absolutely correct.
Next, the latest on the continuing consolidation of the IT security market. With an ever-increasing number of security vendors getting acquired or merged into other companies, speculation over who's next has become an industry sport. In recent weeks, some of that speculation has focused on EI Digital Security, amid rumors that the company is for sale and has gone through multiple rounds of layoffs. EI CEO Kamel Arifay confirms the layoffs but insists the company is still thriving and not for sale.
We had a little bit of struggle in being able to address the lion's share of the opportunities that existed in the place, and with that, deflated a little bit of the momentum. What I bring to the table is the ability to kind of retool the sales organization and the marketing focus to basically put its effort back on where the money is, and that is addressing hopefully more than 70% of the market that does touch technology such as ours, whether it's on the VA, which is the vulnerability assessment, or on the endpoint security. So in a very short time, not to sound smart, but in a short time, we're able to kind of reconfigure ourselves and basically start going after a much broader market that has less emphasis on the brand and less emphasis on a variety of different things, but have deep pockets and clearly more out there than the larger fellows engineering.
So were some layoffs necessary as part of that restructure?
Yeah, and I honestly don't like to use layoff, not because it's a taboo word, but it was really, honestly, and I think people think that I'm putting a spin on it, it's a reconfiguration, meaning where do we actually put our focus? And our focus was primarily growth, as you would anticipate a CEO or anybody with a financial statement objective.
So I mean, my definition of layoff means person who's laid off no longer has a job.
Right. My point is, I didn't think that my definition of layoff sort of close to yours in a sense, but and our intention was not to lay people off because we're in trouble. We laid people off because the emphasis in certain areas have lessened. For example, if you had a product that's very stable, we have a couple of products, for example, that have been in our portfolio, one called Secure IIS, and another product that is a forensic product that are essentially no longer requiring any additional attention. So they're stable, companies love them, there's not a whole lot to add to it. So you clearly remove some of the support infrastructure that has supported those products and then doubled down on other areas, for example, Blink, which is our latest and greatest emphasis, and it's a substantial market, well over 8 billion, as you well know. We added a team to it.
If another company came along, particularly one of the big IT infrastructure vendors, so say, a Cisco or a Microsoft, maybe they're not the best examples, but if another company came along and said, we would like to acquire you and work you into our product line, is that something that you would be eager to do, or is the goal to really keep EI as an independent entity?
Eager is probably a strong word. I think, like anybody, we would entertain anything. And number one, it's flattering. Number two, it kind of gets you in this mode of figuring out what is hot and how can you get better. EI is not up for sale. We are not trying to get the attention of anybody from an M&A kind of standpoint. We have an amazing technology. This is one of the most secure security products, in my opinion, and I've been in this space for a long time. Our job is really to bring it to the forefront. This product was designed for the secure expert, and now we're trying to take it to the masses, so there's a little bit of work that has to be done in making the product easier to deploy, easier to understand. It was reserved for the elite. It was reserved for the people that really knew security and what application protection meant. I don't know about you, but I didn't know what that meant a year ago.
That's it for this week. The latest information security news is always available as it breaks on our news page at searchsecurity.com/news. And you can always catch our Security Wire weekly podcasts featuring summaries of the latest news and interviews with security professionals at searchsecurity.com/podcast. Again, that's searchsecurity.com/podcast. I'm Bill Brenner. As always, thanks for listening.